It's back, and the boys are fighting fit. It's the Radio City Legends. Graham Sharp here in the Everton caller. Give him a shout, 4720967. And although not quite fighting fit after his appearance at Anfield, but not so bad. You're going to talk about the Reds. Aldo is here. Boys, welcome back to the Radio City Legends. John, let's start with your appearance at Anfield.
Only 10 minutes, for the just a cameo game. At the end, yeah. It was quite an eventful 10 minutes because I went on with 2-1 up and they equalised. Having said that, all the goals were spectacular, great goals, really good goals. And then the script was writ with Steve Gerrard, last minute popping up and getting the winner when he should have passed to me. Maybe not. No, I'm only messing. But it was brilliant, you know, another sellout, you know, another £1 million plus for local charity. It was just absolutely brilliant. You know, Cash for Kids is involved in that.
Absolutely.
As we know. And the fans were great. It was a really good day. Weather was good. And it was an excellent match. You know, Pirlo scored a fantastic free kick as well. 3-2. Great entertainment for everybody.
Sharpie, did you see any of it?
No.
He's golfing?
I was golfing, yeah. No, I never. To be fair, I came into Liverpool, I forgot all about it, and I thought, what's going on? And I thought, oh, man, it was a crowd for us. No, it's a fantastic sellout crowd, as I said, for good causes as well.
Pretty good, isn't it? Most clubs, to get 50,000 for a charity
really good,
game.
Really good, really good. As I said, the causes.
Good causes
as well. So the charities will benefit from it. So I imagine it was a good day out, and, you know, good for the fans to see some players, you know, past and present. Obviously, John passed, Alan Kendi passed.
I think it was Alan Kendi present.
but it's
strange because, you know, I think I've spoken about this before in the past. You know, tickets, you know, at Anfield are extremely difficult to get hold of. Like, you know, they turn around like 30, 40,000 applicants per game and season ticket. The amount of kids that were there, Sharpie, it was fantastic. That's the only time they're going to get. Yeah. And that's the sad part about it. That's the only time they're going to get into Anfield to see the older players like Stevie and Robbie Fowler, Carrick. You know, great to see them, Sammy. There's some like lads who were playing not so long ago. You know, Glenn Johnson was involved and such. And it's just a shame that, you know, they can't get to see Liverpool, you know, as young kids when I was lucky enough to do so in my teams. And you know,
we've talked about that before, haven't we? The fact that, you know, that's a problem when you're talking about future fans.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that you have to start them early and everything else. And as John said before, I think if they're redeveloping another area, you said you wanted to maybe make it more a family stand and more for kids to come in and. Because they're the fans of the future.
Absolutely, you know, if and when that gets done, you know, well, it will get done eventually, but it'd be nice to see, you know, children and family stand, you know, on top of the Anfield Road, then if and when, well, when it happens, you know, but it was great.
Well done for your involvement. Have you actually retired now or not? Because after the last game you said you thought you were going to retire.
No, but I slipped a couple of times. Make sure I didn't slip this time. I know, I've sussed it out now what to do. Not run as fast. And with your back towards the ball.
Right, bit of breaking news today, and that's that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the new Manchester United manager. 3-year contract. That's supposed to be expected, Sharpie, although is it the right decision?
Only time will tell. You know, I think he made his trial period went well for him. He's only lost one league game. So I think the majority of Manchester United fans would be happy with that. But again, it's a strange one. You know, when you notified me before, Steve, about, you know, Van Gaal's comments about not knowing who they were signing and Ed Woodward being the main man kind of thing.
Yeah, Van Gaal was basically there, but he didn't have full control. And he's spoken out and said that both Ed Woodward and his right-hand man had far too much of a say when Van Gaal was the manager. So you can only imagine it would be the same with
Absolutely.
Solskjaer.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Hasn't he? It's an easy choice for him doing that. Solskjaer wants to fit the bill. He's desperate for the job. Mm. He's just going to say yes to anything. Yeah. So that'll be one of the, you know, one of the the things ticked in the document. You have to, you know, comply with.
He's a puppet, basically, isn't
it? Yeah, but we always said this in this director of football role and everything else. And usually when it's there, it is somebody who has been a director of football. I don't think Ed Woodward has ever had a director of football role. You know, I think he's been a football man kind of thing, but I don't think he's been involved in signing players. I certainly don't think he would have stood in with Alec Ferguson and said to Alec Ferguson, you're buying this one and that one.
I don't think so.
And then, you know, you look at the ones he's had under Mourinho, would he have said the same to Mourinho? I'm not sure. So I think it's an easy appointment for them to make. I think the fans are on their side. Whether it turns out to be the right appointment, we just have to wait and see. But it's a big job, whoever took it, kind of thing. So listen, let's wait and see.
Are you happy with it, John? Because generally you...
Do you know, I have to say, you know, the managers, you know, to come past, you know, you're looking at them, you don't really tick the box. He's a lovely fella. He comes over a really nice bloke. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't want him to do well in it, obviously, because it's Man United. That's the way it is with Liverpool and Man United. We just don't want... I don't want to do well.
That's why I'm thinking you might be happy, because I can't.
Look, I can't wish him all the best, because it'd be fake saying that. But he's a lovely fella, and if he gets paid up, he'll get a huge amount of money when it happens.
They made a decision. They've got to do better than what they've done. Listen, the fans have taken to him, so I think it's an easy decision in the long term. Whether he sees out 3 years remains to be seen. Obviously, he'll be judged by the matches he wins and how he progresses as a team. But listen, it's a tough job.
I think the big thing, and I might just talk about this, you know, last couple of months, you know, feeling his right hand man. He's absolutely major to him. Major to have him as his right hand man. You know, I'm sure Alex Ferguson will be there in the background to give him help and hands in some way or form. You know, but feeling for me is, he's probably. More important.
I thought he was quitting. I thought he was going to Australia to manage a club, Mike Phelan.
Yeah. Mike Phelan, is he?
Yeah, I think 2 days ago.
That'd be a big miss.
He's taken over at a time where he's playing catch up to Liverpool, Man City. I think he can catch up in Arsenal. I think he can catch up in Chelsea. I'm not sure if he can catch up with Liverpool, Man City at this moment in time. The way they are, depending on what their spend is and their spending money and what they bring in, but I still think they're a long way behind Liverpool, Man City, Man United.
Right, let's look at the running. 7 cup finals, I presume, John. Is that how it is for Liverpool? Yeah,
of course. You know, we haven't spoken since the Fulham game. You know, it was a bit tetchy at times. Van Dijk made it's probably his first little bit of a rick, but I don't blame him. I blame the goalkeeper, Alisson. He should have got the ball and took the player out. He took his eye. He seen the player and he took his eye off it. Keepers in the past get the ball, and me and Sharpie, they'd have smashed us, wouldn't they? You know, and I just think Alisson was at fault more than. But we got away with it. They showed a lot of spirit, you know, desire to go get back, and we got a penalty, which was 100%, you know, and the rest is history. So you just get them points and walk away. But we have to play better. We simply have to play better, you know. I'm just hoping that Salah, that the 2 weeks he's been away, will re-enlighten them and you know, give them a little bit of spark, what's been missing, you know, and that can happen, you know, with football when you just have a break. He's needed a break. Come back, you know, fighting on all coming back on all cylinders, and, you know, get a goal at the weekend and the world will look a lot brighter. It's a difficult game. We all know it goes without saying. Tottenham, you know, excellent side, excellent club, and it'll be tough. Keep Kane quiet and it'll go a long way towards getting the 3 points.
In terms of the title race, it's that close, isn't it, at the moment, Sharpie, that people are only stabbing in the dark when they're having their guess on whether it would be Liverpool or Manchester City.
Well, Liverpool, Tottenham don't travel well, do they? I think Tottenham at home would have been, you know, they'd have fancied their chance. I think going to Anfield, so I think Liverpool are favourites. But no, listen,
the record at Anfield's awful as well.
Yeah, exactly. They don't fancy it, kind of thing. Yeah. And well, I'm saying they don't fancy it. They don't travel well. Listen, that can change. Everybody knows it can change. But no, it will go week to week. And I still think, can I see the teams going, both teams going undefeated to the end of the season? No, I can't.
I agree.
I think there'll be a result, a hiccup.
Yeah.
For both teams. Not just, you know, Liverpool or Man City. I think both teams might slip up, and it's up to the other team to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's a massive game. The fact that if we beat Tottenham, you know, City then have to beat Tottenham, you know, cause at their place, because that's the ideal, well, the exact fixture that we have together, you know, one of the only ones left. So if we beat Tottenham at home, extra pressure for them to beat Tottenham at home in the middle of two massive big European ties against them. It's a major game. I think it's huge, to me, to be fair, in the saying of what happened in the final weeks. But I'm like Sharpie. I can just see a couple of hiccups side to side. I don't know how bad the hiccups are going to be. Manchester City, you know, the cramming games in now. If they do beat Tottenham, that's another two games they've got to cram in the semi-finals. And it's going to compel, you know, for them. and they've got a really good squad, but I think for them to deal with all them games, it's going to take a huge amount of self-will and belief and having to get the points and get them through to the final. And whether they can do that, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they can.
Right, you might want to talk with Aldo about that. 4720967 on the Everton front. Good and bad things from the international break. The bad thing, Yerry Mina, an injury. The good thing, maybe Michael Keane demonstrating goal scoring and a presence for England.
Yeah, I think the Yerry Mina thing. I believe that Silva had said to the national team, don't play him in the two games. You know, he's not been playing at Everton. He's been injured. You know, it'd be a risk playing two games. And obviously, they didn't listen to him.
The Colombian FA weren't bothered, were they?
No, they bothered. He's come back injured. So that's for the lad as well. You know, he struggled with injuries. You know, and listen, you don't want to let your country down. Of course, you don't. But sometimes this is a thing that always happens. You know, players get paid. Players get paid by their clubs. Players get played by their clubs. You know, they should have first shout and whether they think they're fit or not. But obviously, it's not the case. He's come back. Listen,
and whether they can or not play.
Well, yeah, but if you're paying somebody 150 grand a week and he's got an injury, and
don't
you
send him out there then.
Well, you can't be. They've got to, because the rules are that he's got to go. You know, they can lead, and then they can assess him and they can say, yeah, he's fit enough. You know, you can't call him back. In our day, it was a case you could throw one in and say, oh, I've got a groin strain or something, and don't
you
travel.
Prove it, could they?
But you've got to go now for their FA to look at it and say, oh, you're fit, you're deemed fit. But I just think there needs to be an understanding between a club manager. Okay, he's been selfish. It could be Jurgen Klopp, it could be Guardiola, we're going for all the trophies. They can be selfish, but you can't get away with it. And some players want to go, some don't. But I think Mina, we had it with McCarthy as well, with the Republic
That's
of
right,
Ireland.
Yeah.
Been out for so long, I think you've got to prove your fitness at your club first. They pay your wages. So he's gone out there and he's came back injured. You know, so I think they need to do something about that. But listen, we just got to go on with it.
On a great point, you know, for the Republic and Everton, you know, obviously watched the last couple of games, got 6 points, Mick McCarthy's new man. Seamus Coleman looks like, you know, the problems he had, he shook off, and he showed a great captain's performance against Georgia. I thought he was superb, up and down the right flank, defending. He was brilliant as a captain and as a player that day. And also found out he's actually put 10 grand towards Sean Cox Fund, you know,
brilliant.
Which no one knows about. I found out, you know, and I just,
you know,
that's
now.
Brilliant. You know, that's brilliant. He didn't want no one to know. Fair play.
Oh, good
no
that you kept your mouth shut then.
No, but he didn't want no one. He didn't want no one
Don't
to know.
Don't tell John your secrets.
But no, he's just top low, top player, top low.
Right.
You know, I'm just hope he stays away from injuries and he gets the Republic of Ireland back where we belong.
Well done, Seamus Coleman. And just while we're on the international scene, do you want to reflect on Scotland?
Excuse me.
They're no good without Andy Robinson,
are they?
We had a
fantastic win against San Marino. You've got it. You can
San
only
Marino.
Beat what's in front of you.
And what was in front of them?
Won a game, have we? Who have you played? Macedonia?
I was gutted to see Scotland, you know. Hey, that was to see them get beat
by
Kazakhstan.
The funny thing there with them, if you can
see
it, it's funny, is like the question of the manager now. And saying that's the end for Alec McLeish. And I've said it time and time again to people. You haven't got the players. Scotland haven't got the players. So it doesn't matter if Jose Mourinho was the next manager or whoever.
It's not his fault, is it?
No. Yeah. And he's getting battered from it from all ends. The SFA have got to take a big responsibility.
All right, let's take some calls. It's the Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. I think we're going to start on the Liverpool front. We're into the running. 7 games. Let's have a chat with Grizz first of all. Evening, Grizz.
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Mate, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We've got you. Go on, make your points.
Yeah, just looking forward to the running. Really, really trying to enjoy it. It's so difficult to enjoy, though, isn't it? Well, if you're in the
You race, can't enjoy you know, it, can you? No,
honestly,
you
although trying to relax and, you know, really, you want to be here. This is where you want to be. You know, at the top of the table, quarterfinals of the Champions League. But each game's like my blood pressure goes up and down each game. It's really not good for your health, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just want your opinion on the forthcoming games. I'm sure you've probably discussed it already, but I just wanted to know, because I really think this is our last remaining toughest game.
It's one of them. Obviously, we've got home advantage. But there's a couple of smelly ones in there, mate. Mm. I tell you, you know, Southampton away on a Friday night.
I think the away days could
fighting,
be more difficult.
They're fighting.
You know?
They're fighting. Yeah. You know, you looked what happened to Fulham. Not pretty. You know, we've got to try and get a little bit of momentum. You know, with the way we play, because we haven't been playing well, really, especially away from home. But we've been digging out the results. Bayern Munich was a great performance. Don't get me wrong, that was different. But certainly, you know, you're looking at the away games. Cardiff, they're fighting for the lives. You know, it's just. But Tottenham on paper is, you'd imagine, the toughest game, obviously. But we've got home advantage, and you have to make it count. The four home games we've got left, we have to win them all, in my opinion. You know, Chelsea, you know, Wolves and Huddersfield, we have to win them. And, you know, if we can win them four, that will go a long, long way to hopefully, you know, winning the league.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think the margin for error is nothing now, is it? It's non-existent. We literally can't. You know, I was chatting to my mates and I was like, the first team to kind of blink almost, I think it's all over. Like, the first team to drop points out of the two, I think it could well be, you know, it could well be it. But, you know, Spurs, we've usually got a very good record against them at home.
Yeah, the records are there to look at, aren't they? You know, to be broken as well.
Exactly.
Nothing for granted, obviously.
All I would say here is... Tottenham fighting for a top four position, you know, cup final for them.
Yeah.
Chelsea, the exact same thing.
Top four
position, cup final for them. Southampton have picked every team that plays Liverpool now will have it as a cup final.
Yeah.
Immaterial whether it goes to Cardiff or whatever, they will play for the fact that, yeah, obviously to win the game, but also to put a spoke in the wheels for Liverpool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it's everyone's cup final to be the team that stopped Liverpool. Or same applies to Manchester City, the team that stops Man City. But I just think with Tottenham and Chelsea having to go for a top four position, they take on a little bit extra now as well.
Yeah. You know, we get to the last two games of the season, Huddersfield, they'll be down by then. Mm. I'm not saying they'll have nothing to play for. They can go out and enjoy themselves and express themselves. Wolves might be at Wembley in the cup final the following week. Mm. You know, I don't think they put the strongest side out. You know, we'll have to wait and see. But you know, them two games looking on paper, they're the ones you think, you know, we should get the 6 points. The others, I agree with Sharpie. Mm. You know, they're fighting. You know, fighting for their lives. You know, to get the top four or to, you know, avoid relegation. So anything can happen in them games. We've seen it before. So you just look at the Spurs game, Grizzy. The Spurs game. Don't look any further. Yeah. This is the one. We're going for this one. You know, do as we have been doing. You know, in the last few games, we're on a bit of a roll. Let's get back after the break. Let's get back to, you know, to what we were doing good beforehand.
But you know what, guys? I'm really in a, I know it's difficult to say, but I'm actually pleased that it's a big game and a big team, as opposed to after the international break, because we tend to raise our game, don't we? Like in a big occasion, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apart from cup finals, but you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like a big tie, a big team at Anfield, background. You know, I'd rather that than sort of going away to a Fulham where I was. You know, we were expected to win, you know, and sort of win at a canter. This one, everyone's saying it's going to be tight, you know, possibly a goal or a refereeing decision in it. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I hope, you know, we can pull it off, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Yeah, absolutely, pal.
Great points, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sort of thinking the home advantage will be huge in terms of the atmospheres will be amazing now on this run-in.
Yeah, but every home game
stays well.
What's
there'll be nervy as well.
I think there's going to be nerves in the crowd. We've seen that before. And the closer the end of the season comes, there are nerves. You know, you want to get the first goal, and you can feel how tense it can be in the stadium. But at the same time, the crowd last few games have upped it. They know what it means to the players, and you know, the better the atmosphere, the better it projects to the players, and hopefully the more you get out the players. That happens. We know that, we've been there, me and Sharpie. So. Don't the weekend will be a fantastic atmosphere. All the home games will be fantastic atmosphere, without doubt.
Would you see there being an influence on the title race if either City or Liverpool went out of the Champions League?
I don't know. I think it's...
No?
No, I don't.
Does it have an effect or not?
I just think that at the stage of the season where, as John said to the caller, the next game's the most important.
One at a time, you want to win them all.
I think the only thing that will upset them as if they get an injury to one of their major players.
Yeah.
One of the key ones. Right, 10 to 7 is the Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. If you want to get involved, 0151 472 0967. 5 to 7, we'll take some more calls very shortly. I'm Steve Hothersall, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. Boys, I know you always like a chat about a penalty. Have you seen Simeon Jackson's Panenka penalty?
No, for
St Mirren against St Johnson.
Oh, so that just last night?
Yeah, so just to put you in the scene here, St Mirren are bottom of the table, desperately need a win or something to get them close to escaping relegation. They get a penalty on 8 minutes of the game, and this is how he takes it. So, John, obviously you can't see it at home, but watch this, John. This is meant to be a Panenka. Yeah. So he's taking his time, Simeon Jackson, the Canada international.
Keeper's going to stand still.
If it was Messi, it'd be easy. Here he goes, is Simeon.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought it was worse than that.
Really?
I've done one of them. When I've chipped it and the goalkeeper's just stood up in the centre and just went right in his lap.
If you're going to do a Panenka, you should do it properly. Basically, he scuffed his Panenka hasn't he?
He didn't get his foot underneath it, did he? That's what he did. So that was a poor penalty.
I think it was at Oldham, and I think it was against Leeds.
And I
up and took it, and I went, right, okay, put it down.
Is that the dinky?
And usually, and I tried to dink it down the middle, and the keeper, I think it was Lukic, just stood in the middle.
Thought you were being cocky.
Yeah.
And he basically read you.
Yeah. And just doing, thank you.
If they don't go early, they just go, thanks very much. Yeah. Oh, God.
The worst thing about that one is that the opposition side scored 5 minutes later and went on to win. St Johnson. St Mirren against St Johnson. Anyway, let's get back to Everton and Liverpool and the phone lines. 4720967. We'll talk Everton now. Next up on the phones is Matt. Evening, Matt.
Evening, Steve. How are we?
Great, thank you. Through to Sharpie. What do you want to talk on?
Brilliant. Just want to say hello to Aldo as well. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Matt. Okay, pal.
And all right, Sharpie.
Hi, Matt.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure as always, my friend.
Cheers, sir.
Couple of points. Mainly, it's the Jekyll and Hyde of Everton this season, right through the team. You know, I get it as soon as I start walking into the ground, listening to the fans talking about the inconsistency. Mm. No more so than Jordan Pickford. At times, he's a world beater. And other times, I have my heart in my mouth thinking, what is he doing? And one of the basic things, you know, there's no way, you can't get away from the fact that he's a wonderful shot stopper, but coming for crosses, oh my God, he frightens the life out of me. I don't want to get onto the negatives. I want to get onto the positives. And there's something that's baffled me a bit over the last window. It's wonderful for Calvert-Lewin that he's coming on. It really is a wonder. That last game against Chelsea second half, he just ran his heart out. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was a pleasure to watch. And you look at Digne, and I really like Digne at left back. I think that guy is slotted in there like he's played there for years. I think he's a wonderful player. That's just my opinion, and we've all got our own opinions. But what worries me is Mina seems to be in and out of the side, and I don't think Marco Silva seems to know which his best pairing is. And especially with Chelsea having the transfer embargo now, Kurt Zouma, I'll be stunned if he doesn't go back to Chelsea in the summer. Now, Seamus Coleman has said himself that he knows he's not on form this season. Now, Seamus Coleman, I've got nothing but the utmost respect for him. And the fact that he's come out himself and said, I'm not having a good season, but I'll do what I can. Mm. Which is, it's lovely to hear because it's honest of him and it's Seamus through and through. But why I'm talking about the two is, for me, I wouldn't have let Mason Holgate go out on loan because I think he could have done a job there at centre-half for us. And if we're struggling at a right-back, he can sit out there. He proved season before last that he can do a job at right back.
Go on, Sharpie, then. Jump in on Mason Holgate.
What I would say there is that Mason wouldn't have been guaranteed a game. So, obviously, he would look at the Seamus and he's got John Joe Kenny there. And he's probably thought, get him out to play regularly. He's playing regularly at West Brom. It'll do him the world of good. He'll come back in the summer better for it. Then you don't know what the situation is. But I agree with you. I think Zouma will go back. Mina has been a disappointment to say the least with his injuries and everything else. But listen, he's signed, so he needs to have a better second season. The first season's been a bit of a disaster for Mina. We haven't really seen much of him. But I think the boy Holgate was important that he went out and got first team action. But I mean, no good keeping Mason Holgate here if he wasn't playing week in, week out. I think he's learning when he goes out on loan. And I think he'll be better for it. So I think if we'd have kept him, I still don't think he would have played much. Yeah, he would have been cover, but he wouldn't have been getting any benefit from it. I think he's gone out Had a good spell at West Brom, and I think he, you know, comes back in the summer. I think he's one of those who'll come back in the summer and fight for a place next season.
I hope you're right. I really do. Mm. I remember years and years ago Leon Osman going out on loan.
Yeah.
And he scored a bucket full of goals, and he came back, and that guy for me was one of the most underrated players we had at the side.
Well,
the
Matt, you look at Kieran Dowell, he's another one. You know, Emetiro, I don't know what the situation is with Kieran when he comes back. You know, he'll come back hopefully stronger for his spell at Sheffield United. They're going for a promotion. He's playing in front of big crowds. It'll do him the world of good from his learning experience. Okay, they play for the 23s, England under 23s, but playing regular football only benefits those players. So they've gone out on loan. Hopefully they'll come back to us in the summer better for their experience and ready to maybe fight for a first team spot automatically. You know, so that's what we can only hope and wish for. And that's what the loan market's for. You know, I think some of the other boys have went out, the more experienced players, the Williams, the Martinez, the Moraleses, people like that, you know, Nias to a certain extent as well. I don't know if the future is as bright for them when they come back. Balassi's another one, you know, but I think
let's not get onto that.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think the younger ones coming back, I think the future's a lot brighter for them. And I think that's why the loan market and Marcel Brand's done great to shift a lot of the players out there. But I think for the younger players, it's beneficial for them.
Sharp, have you got any news on Lucas Digne's injury? Do you know of the severity or not? Is he in the frame for the weekend?
I think he'll be all right.
Right, so late fitness test tomorrow.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. I think obviously the Mina one is a more serious one, and I think obviously they'll look at him. I can't see him featuring. If it's a hamstring, you know, you probably look at it and think, is he going to feature before the end of the season? You know, it's a difficult one, but I think Dina should be all right.
Matt, a win for Everton at West Ham or not?
It's got to be. It's got to be. I mentioned before to your producer that West Ham's one of them funny teams. It's a bit of a litmus test for us because I've seen them play earlier on in the season. I thought, wow,
yeah,
what a team. And historically, I'm not talking the last 5 years. I'm talking, you know, a long time because I'm pushing on a bit, but they're a team that we used to give a good hiding to a while back. Mm-hmm. If we can go out and put a performance in like we did against Chelsea in the second half, I think we're going to wipe the floor with them.
Mm. You think, but the thing is, Matt, as well, and people remember, West Ham spent a lot of money as well, you know, on bringing players in, and some really good players as well. So I agree with you. I think they're a good team. I think the boy Hernandez is scoring goals for fun, so he's obviously a danger. We've got Arnautovic. You know, they've got players all over the place. So it's going to be a tough, tough game for us. It's not a nice place to go. I don't think it's a football stadium, if I'm honest. It's more of an athletic stadium. I think the atmosphere's not very good, but that's something you've got to overcome. It's an away game. Everton have got to show a lot more than what they've done. Look at Newcastle away. They're winning the game. I think they'll be under more pressure at West Ham than they were at Newcastle, and they have got to stand big.
Matt, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to move on. Just to clarify what I was saying about Mike Phelan a couple of days ago, he was going to Australia, and now Manchester United have clarified that he's going to stay.
maybe
he's got a pay rise.
Sweden, yeah. I wonder what Sweden.
A few extra quid. Let's take another call. 3 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're going to the red side of Merseyside. Let's have a chat with Paul on the Radio City Legends. Evening, Paul.
Evening, Steve.
Hello, mate. You're through to Aldo. What do you want to talk on?
Well, first of all, before the start, I just want to say Saturday was a fantastic occasion. John, it was an unbelievable game of football to see fantastic footballers that we haven't seen for a few years. Pirlo, Kaká, all the rest. It was a fantastic occasion and always really good for the foundation.
Yeah, brilliant. Cheers, Paul. It was fantastic, mate. Yeah.
It was Graham, when are we going to see one from you?
Oh, I doubt it, mate. Flipping the heck. We've enjoyed ourselves too much.
You won't get a five-a-side team on that Goodison Park, though, to be honest, let's say. I just wanted to talk about the congestion. I know Grizz was on before talking about the same thing. And I was just, John, with the congestion of game with Spurs, City have got against Spurs, and I think they play each other three times in 11 days.
Yeah.
And then you've got Crystal Palace in there, and then they've got Man United at the end of it.
That's it, yeah. That's a big period for them, yeah.
Massive period. And then you look at ours, you know, with the Porto games, and then we've got Southampton and Cardiff, and the two games away from home on a Friday night. Can you see our side being a bit more easier than the
On paper.
City side.
On paper.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
On paper, yeah, I think so.
With the games they've got, them 5 games, the intensity of them games, I feel, is going to help us in this title race. I think if City go to Spurs in the first leg of the Champions League game and they get beat, can you see them resting players against Palace four days later?
I'll tell you something he will not do. He will not rest players.
No.
He'll play his stronger side every single game. And if something happens, it happens. And then he'll depend on you know, the fallback, which is not bad what they've got.
But John, look at the flip side. So Liverpool get through a Porto and draw Barcelona and draw Barcelona in the semi-finals. Then does your focus change?
Yeah. Exactly.
See, you know what I mean? So it works both ways, and you know, whilst I agree with what you're saying, but it can work the other way. So if Liverpool get through against Porto and all of a sudden, oh, is Liverpool's eye off the ball because they've got Barcelona in the semi-finals or whatever? So I think it's a really difficult one. I honestly do, and I think everybody looks for if they do this and they do that kind of thing.
Good luck after yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. I think if Liverpool look after themselves
and see what happens
and do what they do from game to game, for me personally, I think that's the best way to do it.
I agree.
Put everything else to the back of mind. We've got to make sure that we win our games.
Yeah.
And then the rest will take care.
What could happen? They could implode a little bit, you know, if something happened to them. You know, just say if it didn't go well for them over Tottenham put them out, and they have a couple of... All of a sudden, you can have a massive lack of confidence. As good as they are, it can creep in, take it from me, and the jitters can come in, and then obviously they've got the FA Cup to go for, you know, the Carabao Cup. That can certainly happen. I'm not saying it will, but that's happened in the past. They've got a fantastic squad, but things happen in football. And I do look, we've just got to make sure Tottenham, try and win Tottenham, look after the next game and hopefully get past Porto, which won't be easy, you know, and then if we get Barcelona, Man United, whatever, that comes. But let's deal with those and see how they deal with theirs. They have got, I agree with you, they've got a little bit more difficult in the space of about three weeks, really difficult. And if they come through that and they win whatever they win, well,
They deserve it,
to be fair. But I think they're going to get caught out once or twice.
Do you think if they get past Spurs and get to the semi final, where they could play Ajax or Juventus, do you think they'll have one eye on that Champions League?
I do. As professional as they are, and I know you're trying to go on there. We just got to look after ourselves. But they're the Middle Eastern people. And Pep Guardiola, take no notice what he says about the bread and butter of the league. Of course they want that. But they want the Champions League more than anything. 100%. I don't care what he says. It's a spoof. They want that. To go to the next level, they're desperate for the Champions League. And I hope they never get it.
But the only thing I would say there is, I agree with John, but I don't think he's under any pressure to get it
this year.
So if it doesn't happen this year, they'll go, it'll happen next year. And if it doesn't happen next year, it'll happen. And listen, with that comes pressure. But I just think the pressure's on both teams. Now, only from looking from the outside, I don't think he puts pressure on his players. And honestly, don't. I think he's...
It doesn't look that way, does it?
No, and I think he's the way he is. And I agree with you. I think City owners are wanting that Champions League, but I think they're also the thinking of, if you get the Champions League, really disappointing, but next year, we'll look to next year, and they continue looking to build and build and build. I think for the two clubs, it's massive. And I don't think either one's getting an advantage at the moment. I think it boils down to the weekend, and then let's see who's an advantage after that. It'll go one way, and then it'll go the next, and I think... It's important, as I said to John at the start, Liverpool look after themselves, the rest will take care of themselves.
Sharpie's right, but I'll tell you something with Man City.
Yeah, of course, John, yeah.
The longer it goes on with them not getting that Champions League, the bigger the burden it's going to come. Quite similar to what we've had to do with the league. If they don't start winning that, and longer it goes on with what they forked out and what's going on at Man City, tell you what, alarm bells are ringing, because that's what they want. Whether they're winning the league or not, that is what they want.
It's a big monkey on their shoulder,
isn't
it?
It's massive, massive. Yeah, yeah. And if they go out this year, and then they go out next year, and the year after, which is possible, you know, they might get the semis. Have they been to the semis yet, have they?
Quarters, I think.
They got beat by
Barcelona a couple of seasons
in
ago.
The semis, did they?
Yeah.
Well, they've got the semis once. Got a great, obviously, great chance of getting the semis again this year. I'm not sure whether they did, but anyway, so far they go, and if they can get, you know, the monkey off the back, we'll wait and see. But I think it's it could be tricky for them.
Paul, you created a really good debate there. Thank you very much indeed, Paz.
Great to hear from you.
Super stuff. We'll try and take a couple more calls. We've got pens to come as well. Just before we get there, congrats to Harry Kane, who's got an MBE today, and also revealed that he wants to play as a kicker in the NFL. In 10 years' time. So you boys, at 35, maybe you should have been going off and playing American football. You know, just bring you on once in the game, kick a field goal, you know, go off again.
Good game if you can get it.
That's all right, then. Yeah. You come on and you kick a goal. And then,
whack a ball straight off. Yeah. Sounds dead easy,
it's
doesn't it?
All right, mate. Yeah.
I think he's taking the mickey, isn't he? Right, we'll do pens next. In John's absence, Dominic Matteo was outstanding. Well, right, it's back. It's time for a bit of pens with Sharpie and Aldo. Mm-hmm. Currently, the score is... Graham Sharp, 20. John Aldridge, 23. Ooh. So even in Aldo's absence, Dominic Matteo continued to compound the agony on Sharp. And whoever chooses the song and artist today has got a real tricky one.
A tricky one?
It's a real conundrum.
What was the one that Dom got? Oasis. Wonderwall. That's really tough. Yeah, that's what Dom got. Tough, isn't it?
I might just struggle with
first that question John asked when he came in tonight. Did we win the quiz? Right, this is Pens. Who's going first?
John will go.
Go on, mate, yeah. I'll go for... I'll keep away from the song, so I'll go for number one.
Number one, it's Mystery Voice time.
You're good at them.
You should get this. Okay, here we go. Who is this Mystery Voice?
And you have to well...
Play it for you one more time.
I think...
And you have to well...
Yeah. I think it's think Gordon is? Taylor.
Yeah. Miss this! Fantastic. Mystery Voice correctly done by John. That was question number one.
Six.
Very much in the headlines today is Gordon Taylor. Number six, name the song and the artist.
Oh, just said it's
so, song and artist, number six.
Normally number two.
Listen out, Sharpie.
Paul McCartney.
Hang on. Do you want to hear it again?
Go on.
Don't jump in. There you go. Knocking at the door. Who do you think that is?
Paul McCartney and Wings.
Paul McCartney, you haven't given me the song.
Well, you said what it was.
Oh, you need the song.
Name
mate.
The song and
it.
The artist.
Don't jump in.
Paul McCartney and Wings or Wings?
Wings, Paul McCartney and Wings.
They're not called Paul McCartney and Wings.
It's just Wings. Yeah.
It's Wings.
But it's Paul McCartney and Wings.
No. I've got thoughts for that, Sharpie.
I've got the timer on you now anyway. No. Here we go. Give him some suggestions, John, like he does to you.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Song names. Wonderwall. Go on,
Sharpie.
Someone's
knocking at the door. Absolutely no idea.
John, do you know what it's called?
Talking too much.
Come on, John, you must know it. Wings.
Let him in.
That's correct.
I watched them, you know, Paul McCartney Wings on the Empire Years.
It's not Paul McCartney Wings, it's Wings.
No, it's Wings.
You are brilliant.
John, where do you want to go now?
Number three.
Okay, the red second penalty. What was the score last time Everton played West Ham in the league?
1-0 Everton. I haven't got a clue.
Oh, dear me!
Do you know, Sharpie?
Oh, no.
Was it 3-2 West Ham?
I think it was 3-1.
3-1.
3-1 West Ham. Sharpie, go on. See if you can get a Liverpool one.
Four.
Number four. What former Sunderland player had to have written into his contract that he could not travel into space?
What?
So what former Sunderland player had to have written into his contract that he couldn't travel into space? It's a topical football question. What?
Stop. Could travel up. Niall Quinn.
Absolutely no idea.
It was actually Stefan Schwartz. He was told that space travel would invalidate his contract. He actually wanted to travel to space.
Christian, you need to get out more. Where did you get that from?
Well, these are the difficult questions. John!
One Liverpool one. I'll go number five. Hopefully.
Number five. Name the four sides, teams in last season's Champions League semi-finals.
A little bit more easier for
Liverpool,
you.
Liverpool,
Chelsea,
Real Madrid. Oh, stop it, Sharpie, will you?
Porto,
Roma,
yeah,
and Juventus.
absolutely no idea.
He's down my ear. I'm trying to concentrate.
You did well, yeah.
You got the first three right, and yeah. then he built up the pressure so much. Who was the fourth team, Sharpie?
I wasn't listening.
Real Madrid beat...
come on, it's obvious.
Chelsea.
No, the team that's always in the semis. Bayern Munich. Should have had a bit of pressure. No,
the,
was on.
The concentration went and it Sharpie did. Put me off. Just a
Sharpie that, to stay in the game. You've got to score this one. So this is
number two.
Right, Liverpool beat Spurs 2-1 earlier in the season. But who scored the second Liverpool goal?
Stop between two. I'll go. They beat them 2-1. I'll go Wijnaldum.
No. Got the first, didn't he?
Did he? Never did he.
Firmino.
Was it? That's rubbish. Space travel. In a quiz. Where did you find that from?
He deserved that for putting me taking my pressure
really
on.
Really underhand tactics.
Where did you get that from?
Just search.
Search nothing.
There's always one bombshell of a question.
Firmino wanted to do
Firmino
it.
Was the answer, yeah. The tiebreak was, how many Champions League matches have Real Madrid appeared in since the start of the competition? Wow. What do you reckon?
Champions League or European
Champions
Cup?
How many Champions League
is
matches?
Is that the European Cup as well or just the Champions League?
No, that's the Champions... That's the Champions League, yeah. What do you reckon since the start of the Champions League?
260.
And are you going higher? Games? Are you going higher, John?
How many games?
Yeah, how many games they appeared in? He's doing his maths again now.
It's a good shout there. I'll go 300.
Yeah, it is actually. I play You'll Never Walk Alone Again, but it would take too long.
Was
it's 431.
Wow, is it?
Yeah. It's a lot of Champions League football, isn't it? Yeah. Right, 21 minutes past 7, of course, two massive games at the weekend. 5:30 for Everton at West Ham and Liverpool in a late kickoff at home against Tottenham on Sunday. I think we're going to get another call in a moment or two. Before we get there, boys, just thoughts. I know it's a bit more of a serious subject, but the PFA controversy and Gordon Taylor all over the back pages today. Looks like he's leaving his post. Is this just something that's a necessity now? Is it something that bothers you as former players?
It's changing.
I think he's been
inevitable, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's been in power far too long, unopposed. Immaterial. People talk salaries, and if that's the salary he's got, fair enough. But he should not have been in it for that length of time. Definitely far too long. It needed change. We keep hearing. I know he's come out and I heard some of his statement after the kind of hearing where he said he's never turned his back on anybody. But there's not too many stories going about from ex-players who have not had the support that they think they warranted from the PFA. So I think it's the right thing to do. I think a change of leadership will do it. A lot of good. When you think of the problems that they've encompassed in terms of like dementia... and how little they put in behind, you know, to try and get to the bottom of the dementia thing. They should have done an awful lot more, and I think he has to carry the can for that. They've done a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but I think for the likes of the dementia sufferers from football, I think he should have done a lot more.
It's a grey area, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's a grey area with them. I do agree, but whether it was, you know, Gordon's fault, we don't know. He's the head, but I have to say, when I ever spoke to Gordon, which is quite a few times as the, you know, the chairman of the ex-players Liverpool, when we've had to get some money for ex-players who are having a bad time, you know, Ron Yates in particular, you know, it's an area where the club really, it's hard for the club to fund because of this grey area. And I've been in touch with the PFA and they've been very, very good over a few players, you know, Ian Ross as well. So I can't. I can see where people are coming from, but I can't knock him. Whenever I've lifted the phone on behalf of ex-Liverpool players, he's actually done us proud.
Right. He is a union leader. He's been in his job for nearly 40 years. Absolutely. Maybe the union just needs modernising bit now.
I don't think Andy would be in power as long as that. And I think it's there's a little grey area in terms of the election process and should it have been every 4 years or whatever kind of thing, I don't know. So there's been listen, as John says, he's done a lot of good things, you know, but I think it needs changing, it needs shaking up.
The one that obviously the dementia, Alzheimer's with the balls. that is made. That has to. I think a couple of years ago they started moving in that direction, the PFA, but it's an area where they really, really have to look hard up and what they can do. I have to say,
Ian St John, the Saint, was saying this to me about 10 plus years ago. Yeah. Saint's been on it for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ex-players, Steve, Liverpool players, that have passed away, and some of them now have got dementia and Alzheimer's, and maybe it might be coincidence. We'll never know, but they have to do more tests.
Yeah, more research, and the PFE have got to back the research
absolutely
with more than what they're doing at this moment in time.
And
DFA, of course,
Finish on a lighter tone. Yeah. Who's going to be the Premier League's top scorer? So Sadio Mane's got 17, Salah 17, Kane 17, Aubameyang 17, and Aguero 18.
I'll throw mine. I think if you know you want to give me 100 quid now, Steve, I'll put it on Harry Kane.
Aguero for me.
Yeah.
Mm. See, I've got this feeling that Aguero can score two or three in a game. Or, you know, he can do a burst of a lot of goals.
Harry Kane can score that as well. Yeah. Start off on Sunday or Saturday, sorry. Saturday, yeah.
Hey, stop it. He can score them on Saturday, as long as it's not Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday in training.
Listen, who knows? What's Sterling on?
He's my 15.
No, but I'm just saying he's up there as well. So what I'm saying is, like, in those teams that you're talking about, Man City will score goals for fun. Mm. You know, Tottenham. I watched Dele Alli the other night for England. He struggled big time. So I don't know. Tottenham are having a little blip at the moment, aren't they?
But you see, obviously,
Harry Kane was good the other night.
Look at the games that, you know, City have played and Tottenham played. Aguero's played and Kane's played. Kane was out for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise he'd have another five or six goals now. He'd be way ahead.
He'd be clear, wouldn't he?
That's why. Yeah. What's the odds on him, by the way? I might have a bet on that tomorrow, Steve.
I haven't seen it. But do you remember a season with so many players perhaps have been this close, seven games out? There's an awful lot of players, isn't there, leading the pack there?
To be honest, I thought there'd be something to be more goals than that.
More than 17? Well, I suppose that's because last season, Mo Salah and even Harry Kane. Did Harry Kane get 30 last season?
He was fit most of last season, you know, so that's the thing. If you fit all through the season, you get. But hey, there's still 8 games to go, and there'll be another 8 goals scored by one of them.
Yeah, didn't he finish with a flourish? Kane, was it last year or the year before he finished with a flourish, didn't he?
Yeah.
Won't see how it materialises. West Ham then, Everton are going to do what?
Tough game. If you'd said to me, take a point, I'd take it now. Yeah.
A point, you'd be happy with a point?
Yeah, I would be.
A couple of places, a couple of points ahead of you in the Premier League at the moment. And for Liverpool, of course, against Spurs.
Hey, look,
crucial.
Crucial. You know, I think we'll win. Both teams will score. I think we'll win by the odd goal, personally.
Oh, you think both teams will score in this game?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Harry Kane. I do.
You think it might be a bit nervy?
I'm nervous now. Could be, Steve.
Boys will resume on Monday. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with the Radio City Legends on Monday evening from 6:30 with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. And, of course, we'll look back at all the weekend's action. If you didn't get on tonight, we'll take more of your calls on Monday, so please do get involved then. You can also join me tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. on Radio City Talk for the kickoff between 7 and 11, when we'll be previewing all the weekend's footy action. We'll have Sharpie kicking a football across the studio. That's not good etiquette. Who's the guest tomorrow? We'll do Fan Friday tomorrow to look ahead to the weekend's action at about 8:40. Thanks for your company today. See you again Monday.